Our reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, to chapter 6, verse 2. And do follow it with me from page 1161 in the Church Bibles. So, page 1161, 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again.
So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Beryl, John, thank you so much for bringing that reading to us. And please do keep it in front of you, everyone. We're there on page 1161 in these Bibles. Let's pray together. Loving God, we believe that this ancient book is also your living word to us today. As we listen now to your word, please meet with each one of us at our point of need. And please show us wonderful things about yourself. Amen. Amen. Now, our title for today's talk is Reconciled. To be reconciled with someone must be one of the most wonderful things in life. To go from a broken relationship to a restored friendship is truly beautiful. Back in 2014, the New York Times published an article called Portraits of Reconciliation. It contained photographs of people from Rwanda, like this one, a country we'll be praying for later in the service. The article was written 20 years after the genocide in Rwanda about a charity that is bringing together the perpetrators of violence and their victims. Now, of course, this is not easy to do. There's extensive counselling offered over many years. But each photograph in that article, this one included, is an example of extraordinary reconciliation. So the man in this picture, Francois, had committed terrible violence against that woman's family. Her name is Epiphany. And Francois said this. He said, "The day I thought of asking pardon, I felt unburdened and relieved. I felt human again." And then Epiphany wrote, "Before I granted pardon, he could not come close to me. I treated him like an enemy, but now I would rather treat him like my own child." An extraordinary case of reconciliation. Now, of course, reconciliation is needed closer to home as well. And I guess that many of us will have friendships, relationships with family members that have been broken or strained, and we long for those relationships to be healed. Well, throughout the autumn here at St. Mary's, we've been studying this book of 2 Corinthians in the Bible. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Christian church in the Greek city of Corinth. And all through this letter, Paul has been writing about authentic Christianity. He's wanting to show us what real Christianity is actually about. And today, in the passage we read today, Paul explains that the heart of authentic Christianity is being reconciled to God. The heart of it is a living relationship with God. Now, sometimes we think that Christianity is about keeping rules, keeping the Ten Commandments, for example. Sometimes we think it's about coming to church regularly, or maybe about striving to be a good and respectable person. Now, those things all have their place, but the heart of authentic Christianity is being reconciled with God so that we have a living relationship with him. Now, whether that idea of a relationship with God is new to us or something we've enjoyed for many years, I want us to see this morning in God's word how that reconciliation happens, so we can see how wonderful it is and so we can see how to be part of it. And we're going to see 4 brief things about being reconciled with God. The first is that God takes the initiative. God takes the initiative. Please have a look on page 1161 at chapter 5, verse 18. This is the small number 18 near the bottom of the left-hand column on page 1161 there in our Bibles. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them." All this is from God. In other words, it is God who takes the first step. God who reconciles us to himself. Now, this is amazing. Because in the broken relationship between humanity and God, God is the wronged party. We're the ones who have broken the relationship. And yet God takes the initiative to put it right. The verses there mentioned that word sin. When we think of sin, very often we think of things like sitting up too late watching DVDs or eating a whole tub of ice cream, things that are wrong but don't really matter. Or sometimes we think that sin is terrible things that some people do, like committing murder. But in the Bible, the heart of sin is an attitude to God that all of us have. So the Bible teaches us that God made us to live in relationship with him as our loving ruler. But we all turn away from God and choose instead to live our own way without him. Now, we all do this. Some openly and obviously turn their backs on God. Others live a very respectable life, even a religious life. But when what we want is different to what God wants, we turn our back on him and go our own way. We are rejecting relationship with him. Now, I think I've told this story before, but it's very apt. It's about a friend of mine who's quite old now, who visited a school to give a talk about the Christian faith. And while he was speaking, he could see a sixth former at the back of the hall who was making it clear that he was far too cool to be there listening to a talk about Christianity. And as soon as my friend finished speaking, this sixth former put up his hand to ask a question. And he asked the speaker, "What is your worst ever sin?" And then he sat back to watch the speaker squirm. Well, my friend thought for a moment and he said, "Well, my worst ever sin is the same as your worst ever sin." Well, now the sixth former was worried. How much does the old man know? How much is he going to say in front of all of his friends? But my friend continued, "Yes, my worst sin is the same as yours. I've turned my back on God." He explained how God made us to live in relationship with him, but he, like everyone else, had chosen again and again to go his own way without God. And he explained that this is so serious because it damages us, it damages those around us, and it breaks that relationship with God that we were made to have. Now, God could have left us to go our own way without him, but in his love, God takes the initiative to restore the relationship. Imagine a father whose son has gone off the rails, stolen from him, insulted him, stormed out of the house and is living on the streets. Now imagine that father takes the initiative and he goes out to search for his son, to try to find him and forgive him and bring him home. That's a picture of what God has done for us. Paul writes, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Jesus Christ is God, come into the world to search us, to try and find us, forgive us, and bring us home. So what a gracious, loving, and merciful God we have. Although we'd broken the relationship with him, he takes the initiative and comes in Jesus to find us. It's the first wonderful thing about this reconciliation. God takes the initiative. The second thing we learn about it in these words in the Bible is that Jesus paid the price. God takes the initiative. Jesus paid the price. Now, in any forgiveness, there's a price that needs to be paid. Imagine I visited you at home and through my clumsiness drove my car into your garden wall and knocked it over. What would you do if something like that happened? You could demand that I pay for the repair, or you could forgive me and cover the cost of the repair yourself. But in either case, there's a cost that doesn't just vanish. Someone has to pay for that wall, either me or you. Well, now imagine that I wrong you emotionally in some way that leaves you deeply hurt. Now, again, there's a cost, this time of pain, that needs to be paid. You could make me pay it. You could confront me with hurtful remarks to make me suffer. You could go around telling everyone what I'd done to make me pay. Or you could forgive. But that's costly because it means taking that debt of pain yourself, paying it down yourself as you forgive. In either case, that debt of pain is paid by someone, either you as you forgive, or me as you take revenge. Well, in our broken relationship with God, there is a debt that needs to be paid, and Jesus paid the debt. It's another way of saying that God paid it, since Jesus is God's son. Now, verse 21 in our reading is one of the most profound verses in all of the Bible about the death of Jesus on the cross. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus had no sin. He had always lived in perfect relationship with God the Father. But on the cross, Jesus took on himself the sins of the whole world. He took on himself all the ways that we have rejected God. And he paid the penalty for it. And he did it for us so that we can trust in him and be forgiven. And we might become, as it says, the righteousness of God. That God might see us and treat us as if we were perfectly righteous. It's the most amazing exchange. Jesus took my sin, all the ways I've rejected God, he paid for them, and I receive his perfect righteousness so that I can stand before God. Now, in dying on the cross, Jesus was not a third party being unfairly victimized by God. No, Jesus is God. It was God himself paying the price. Like you paying for the wall that I'd knocked over. Like you absorbing the pain and forgiving me for that hurt. God himself paying the debt of our rejection for him. Now, this means that Christians should be the most humble people in all the world and the most thankful people in all the world. We've been reconciled to God not because of anything we've done, but because Jesus paid the price. So God takes the initiative, Jesus paid the price. And then the third thing we see, and we are just focusing from verse 18 to the end of our reading, is that we must decide. See what Paul writes in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, God has done everything necessary. He's taken the initiative, he's paid the price. But we need to accept that reconciliation. It means turning back to God as our loving ruler. It means trusting in Jesus who paid the price. Now, as I mentioned at the start, this letter of 2 Corinthians was written to a Christian church. Isn't it curious that writing to a Christian church, Paul would say, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Why would he write to a church like that? Well, it must be because it's very possible to be in church, but not yet in a living relationship with God. Perhaps for you over the years, that the heart of your faith has been those other things, the striving to keep God's rules, the regular attendance at church, the striving to be a good person. Now, I mentioned that those things have their place, but it is possible to do all of those things without having a living relationship with God. Or maybe you look back wistfully to a time a few years ago where you had that living relationship, but you know, truth be told, it's grown cold and you've drifted from God. That's why God's word says to us this morning, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, Paul is passionate as he makes this appeal. He's imploring, he's urging, he's begging them. Nothing is more important than being reconciled to God. You see, to not be reconciled with God, it leaves us separated from relationship with him, from all his good gifts, for all eternity. But on the other hand, to be reconciled with God means that that relationship is restored. We know he loves us, he forgives us, he accepts us. He's at work in us, transforming us to be like him, and he's bringing us to be with him forever. That's why Paul is so passionate in his appeal. He's passionate, and he's also urgent. Let me read chapter 6, 1 and 2. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. It's an urgent appeal. The imaginary story is told of three junior devils who were sitting there, exams. It is an imaginary story. And they were asked, how would you stop someone becoming a Christian? Well, the first junior devil said, I would tell them that there is no God. The examining devil said, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, C minus. Most people know that there's a God. It's unbelievable what you have to believe to be an unbeliever. Well, the second junior devil said, no, I would take a different approach. I would tell them that there is no sin. Again, the examining devil said, C minus again, I'm afraid. They only need look in the newspaper or look in the mirror to see that there is sin. But then the third junior devil said, no, I wouldn't tell them that there's no God or no sin. I would tell them that there's no hurry. And the examining devil said, yes, top of the class. You see, the devil would love us to believe that there's no hurry in accepting God's invitation. But But every time we put it off, it becomes harder to say yes to it. And one day it will be too late. You see, God's appeal comes to us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Turn back to God as loving ruler. Trust in Jesus who paid the price. And not to put it off. So God takes the initiative. Jesus paid the price. We must decide. And now one more thing we see about this reconciliation. Christians are Christ's ambassadors. Christians are Christ's ambassadors. You see, when we're reconciled to God, he gives us straight away a job to do for him, the privileged job of passing on his message. I think we're told this three times in verses 18 to 20. Let me read those verses once again and see if you can count. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, Paul is speaking first and foremost of himself and his fellow apostles, but what he says applies to all believers. Christians are Christ's ambassadors. Now, at this point, I need to confess a guilty secret. I love listening when I can to Women's Hour on Radio 4. Don't know why I like it so much, but again and again, the interviews are very interesting. And the other week, they interviewed Judith Goth. Can't really say that. Judith Goth. She is the UK ambassador to Sweden. And they were talking to her about her life as our ambassador over there. She explained it's not all pink gins and Ferrero Rocher chocolates. Turns out it's actually quite hard work. She works all day and then has two or three receptions in the evening. She has to deal with quite a lot of conflict in her working life. But she did say it's costly, yes. But being our ambassador overseas, she said, is the great privilege of her life. To represent the United Kingdom in Sweden. She said that she is our mouth in that country. She passes on the message of the UK in Stockholm. Well, Christians, this is the privilege that God has given us. It is costly, but a wonderful privilege to be Christ's ambassadors. Now, it's tempting to think, surely not me. I'm afraid of talking to other people about Jesus. I'm not very good with people or answering questions. But no, he does mean us. We saw 2 weeks ago, God works through our weakness for his glory. So Christians, let's think and pray. How can we best live out this role? At home, perhaps. At school or at work. In everything we do. How can we let people know that we're Christian believers? How can we represent him well in the way we live, showing the difference that the living Jesus makes? What opportunities do we have to be his mouth, to share the message of the faith, perhaps to get people thinking, to talk about our own experience of coming to faith? Who can we invite at Christmas time to come and hear? Or next February as we have our Real Lives Mission Week? How can we invite people to that? It is the most amazing privilege. Now, it calls for love, creativity, perseverance, courage. But Jesus has made us his ambassadors, bringing his message to others. To be reconciled with anyone is a wonderful, wonderful thing. To be reconciled with God is truly life-changing. It means knowing him as our Father, his love, his acceptance, his work in our lives now. It means knowing that we are heading to be with him forever. God takes the initiative. Jesus paid the price. We must decide, and Christians are Christ's ambassadors. Now, as we conclude, I'd like to ask where all of this leaves you personally. I think each one of us will be in one of four places, which I'm going to call A, B, C, and D. D stands for don't believe it. If that's you, let me urge you to keep thinking about these things. Maybe you have a particular question or concern about Christianity. Ask a Christian friend. There may be a book addressing that concern over there. Nothing is more important than being reconciled with God. Now, A stands for already believe. Many of us have been walking in relationship with God for some time now. If that's you, rejoice and give thanks. Particularly, thank Jesus for paying the price. And let's be thinking and praying, how can we best be his ambassadors living out this amazing privilege? Now, C stands for considering it. Maybe you're considering all this today. That's great. Keep coming. Keep thinking about these things. And remember, don't keep putting it off. When you know enough, that is the time to be reconciled to God. And so B stands for believe today. Perhaps there's someone here today who wants to turn back to God as loving ruler, to trust in Jesus who paid the price, and to be reconciled with God. Well, if that's you, we're going to see on the screen a prayer which we could use in a moment quietly to be reconciled to God or to commit ourselves again to living in relationship with him. But I want to give us some time to think and to reflect about everything we've heard. So I'm going to ask the musicians if they would sing to us the next song that we have, My God. It gives us some time to think about what we've heard, whether we're A, B, C, or D. Let's use the next couple of minutes for reflection. The words of the song will be on the order of service, and we're going to leave the prayer on the screen. Thank you.
Bring us home again, my God.
I'm going to pray that prayer now, and if you want to make this your own prayer, do echo it quietly in your heart to be reconciled with God, or to commit ourselves afresh to living in relationship with Him. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm sorry for turning away from you, trying to live life my own way without you. Thank you that you took the initiative and that Jesus paid the price so that I can be reconciled to you. I turn back to you as my loving ruler and trust in Jesus who died for me. Help me now to live and speak as your ambassador in all that I do. Amen.